Thank you. Hey, I'm on. Yes. We're really thankful for our mothers, I'm sure. I was going to say something about my mother but during sharing time, but, you know, that just kind of take away from my sermon, right? And I like what Doreen had to say this morning, because I think that the more Christian, the more Christ-like our mothers are, the better we're anchored to God when they go on, when they pass away. And I think as parents as a whole, but mothers especially, because they seem to be somewhat more nurturing. I was never that great nurturing person when my kids were growing up, just asking. But mothers tend to nurture. They tend to take care of their children. They tend to teach them things that they wouldn't necessarily actually learn anywhere else. That can be good or bad, I guess. But if we have a good Christian mother, it helps anchor us to God. It helps us to anchor to something that's more than this world can offer us. Don't get me wrong, I love my mom. And there's still days I wish I could call her. Because she always had a different perspective on life than I did. Not that we believed differently, we believed the same. But it's amazing what years of walking with God will do to your life. And so I just ask the Lord that He follows with me and helps me. And, you know, I don't even care if He chastises me once in a while, because that's the only way I'm going to learn, right? I usually learn more when God's hollering at me than when He's whispering, because I tend to be too busy. But, you know, as we think about mothers this morning, I found some really important stuff. And, guys, this is going to hurt. Just want you to know this. It's going to hurt. I went on the internet, and I found this place that figures out how much a stay-at-home mom is worth. Six figures, according to a new survey. Salaries.com determined using its salary wizard that the minimum annual salary for a mother in 2018 is $162,581, a nearly $5,000 increase over 2017. You girls done fine. Got that raise. Hope you saw it. But anyway, that's the good news. Now for the bad news, guys. I'm glad you're sitting down. In a total stay-at-home dad's work 59.7 hours a week on household and child care related tasks. When considering base pay and overtime, they would earn $71,463 per year. We aren't even hitting halfway, guys. But the problem is the hours we put in. But working dads spend 72.3 hours a week on their chores, and would earn $37,000 per year in addition to whatever salary they might have in their day job. Now, in our culture, those women are even making more money than that. Because I don't know how things actually work at your house, but I'm thinking, judging from our house, Carol's going to get that $100,000+ whatever she makes on her job. because she does more than I do. Now, once in a while, she explains that to me. And I do listen. But the point is, mothers just tend to do more. And so, I find that very interesting, but you know, it's not new. It isn't. It's something that God told us long time ago. Because if we turn to Proverbs 31 and start with verse 10, and this is rather lengthy this morning, and hopefully my sermon won't be, but if we listen to what Proverbs has to say, Proverbs 10, a wife of notable character, who can find? That's a question. It's something we ought to work for, men. Especially those that aren't married. You guys that are married, suck it up and move on. Okay? It is what it is. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband is has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She works hard. See what I mean? This is nothing new. She gets up. Oh, hold it. She is like a merchant ship, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. I'm thinking women must be disciples. They must be able to do that much easier than, we'll say, men do because of that nurturing ability that they have. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. A good wife can change who you are. You know, the old saying, yeah, behind every good man, there's a great woman. And I have to believe that. Generally, they're pushing us along because we need the help. But sometimes if it wasn't for them, we'd never get as far as we would without them. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This is Solomon's time. That's a few years ago. It's not new that a virtuous woman for a wife is a fantastic thing. But you know what? I believe a virtuous woman for a mother is a far better thing. Because otherwise, we miss out on so much. A good Christian mother walks us along with God. A virtuous mother helps us see where God changes our lives even when we don't. They come up with great little sayings like, you are who you run with. Okay, she was right. But you know, those types of things are what makes mothers who they are. They have a sixth sense. You know, those eyes in the back of their head? Have you ever seen them? I know they're there, but have you ever seen them? I think the reason most of them have long hair is to hide them, so we don't know that they have them. But mothers seem to know everything we do wrong. We don't get by with nothing. It always seems like we have it under control. There's no way mom can catch on this one. And your fun beats you home. Now, I just don't think that's fair, but that's mothers. But it's good for us. I'm sure that God just kind of lets them know that they need to either make a phone call or really listen to what's going on. They have intuition. God allows them to be wonderful. He doesn't make them just so we have someone to take care of us. That's not what they're there for. And I think on Mother's Day, we have to stop and really look at what they do for us. We sometimes don't allow them to do everything that they're supposed to. Proverbs 31:17 says, she sets about her work vigorously, and her arms are strong for the task. They're more than willing to go the extra mile. It says they get up early in the morning. And when she does, I hope Carol's quiet. Okay? She's always up ahead of me. And that's okay, as long as she's quiet. Because I don't want to get up. But Carol is the virtuous woman, and I know this because she wants to get her whole day done by 9 o'clock in the morning. You don't do that getting up at 8:30. You know what I'm saying? You don't even do that getting up at 7. And so we've had a little bit of turmoil in our house over this issue. Now, she claims if I do beat her up for some reason, that didn't sound good, did it? I've only beat her up on... There's only certain days that I have rows ahead of her. How's that? That's better, right? I shouldn't be beating her up. Poor thing. She's got a lot of bruises, you can tell. But if by chance I have to get up early, like on Sunday mornings, I have to walk around like I'm on eggshells. Because all you have to do is squeak a door. All you have to do is overrun a puppy or step on a dog toy. And then she's up, and that's not a good thing. But most days, she's up and working by the time I finally decide that's a good idea. And I don't get up that late, I didn't think. But that's how I know who she is. My mom was always up ahead of us. I don't ever remember her not being. When I was growing up, we would get up. Mom was already cooking breakfast. And of course, being the intelligent young man I was, I always asked how soon breakfast was. And you know what her answer was? When your chores are done. It wasn't a time, it was a something. So some days my chores didn't probably get done quite as good as other days, but they got done, depending on how hungry I was. But I found that wasn't worth it, because if my brothers didn't get theirs done, you waited. You didn't get nothing until they got there, right? But she helped me learn that getting up and getting things done is a lot better than just sitting there doing nothing. And so, actually, Carol was no surprise when we got married that she was going to get up that early and work that hard. And she works till way late at night. I'm not going to tell you how late she worked last night, but she was up quite a while. And you know, when we think about our mothers, we have to give them praise and honor. There ain't a gate at the city anymore. But the people in the city know who those Christian mothers are. The people in the city know those that they can depend on. They're the ones that are always asked to do something. They don't seem to have a lot of extra time in their dance card, so to speak, because they're hard working. They work hard for the family. But most of all, they taught us what we know. Luke 1:25, "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among people." Luke 1:38, "This is the mother of our Lord." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your words to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left. Luke 1:46-7, "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God our Savior.'" A real virtuous woman is a Christian woman. One understanding that God's going to take care of them. Understanding that they need to keep their eyes on God. To make sure that they are followers of Jesus, not followers of the culture. And in our day and age, that's not the norm. I hate to say that. When I was growing up, I really wondered why everybody wasn't a Christian. Most of us were, as far as I thought. In our community, I was pretty sure of it. But I can go back to that same community today, and it's totally different than when I grew up. The thought processes are different. The culture is different. We grew up in a Christian culture. We aren't today. And why? I hate to say it, we don't have as many Christian mothers today. We don't have those mothers that are teaching their children right from wrong. those mothers that are teaching their children to respect others, to tell the truth, to help others. Mothers that are willing to help their families to grow in Christ. They're just not there. You know, we talk a lot about the good old days, and we talk about all these shows we used to watch and how important husbands were in those shows, but quite honestly, it wasn't the husbands that brought that to us. In that culture, they tried to make husbands look better. But here again, it's the virtue of a wife that makes a husband who he is. Acts 16:14. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer of purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. God's with us. God's teaching women and men today to hear Him. We aren't out there alone. We don't have to disciple other people or our children alone. We don't serve a dead God. You know, I heard that this week as we was at Baccalaureate. We're lucky that we have a plan inspired by God, and then He is still alive to make sure we understand it. We're the only religion in the world that has that. We need to start listening. We get to be more virtuous that way. We have more hope in our lives and joy in our hearts if we allow God to speak to us. First Samuel talks about Samuel. And in verse 15 it says, Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Is that what your mother did? Did she do it in front of you? Do you pour out your soul in front of your children to God or those around you? See, Hannah had a terrible time. She was barren. She couldn't have children. And she was willing to give up that child if God would open her womb and allow her to have children. She was willing to give it away because she understood that having children is a gift from God. And as women and men, we need to take care of those children. We need to teach them about God. We need to help them understand how important it is to be fed, to hear from God, even if it's around the dinner table. Because if we don't pray there, we probably don't pray anywhere. We need to teach them the way they should go, the Bible says, and they'll return to it. That's our job. But I hate to say this, I'm going to lay a lot of that on the mothers. They seem to have a better in-touch feeling with their children than most men. They tend to be more nurturing, more loving, more understanding. They aren't fixers like we are. When my kids had a problem, I wanted to fix it and move on. Mothers don't do that. They fix the kids and then move on. They could care less about what actually happened. So this morning, I want you to remember back to Mother. And if your mother's here, I want you to make sure today that you love on her more than any other day. Got that? Okay. I want you to let them know how important they are in your life. Because it's that thing that's going to put joy in your heart. That understanding who she is will help you to grow. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for walking with us. We thank you most of all for mothers. We thank you for giving us mothers that were willing to teach us, to once in a while reprimand us, help us to realize the wrongs that we were doing, the problems we were causing, but most of all, the sin that was in our lives. And so, Lord, we just ask that you continue to make virtuous, God-fearing women to be mothers. Help all mothers to be better mothers, to understand you better, to hear your voice a little clearer. Give them joy in their heart as they watch their children grow. And love and gentleness and kindness. But most of all, perseverance. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.